Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. I want to thank Citrix GoToWebinar for sponsoring today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. When you're trying to create demand, you need a cost-effective way to reach your target audience and generate leads for your sales team. You need to use webinars. Whether you are a startup or a company operating worldwide, or a solo entrepreneur, GoToWebinar can help you connect, captivate, and convert your target audience. It's easy to do. You keep attendees engaged with interactive polls, live chat, and respond to feedback in real time. GoToWebinar makes it easy to reach your target audience and turn leads into customers. Get started with GoToWebinar today. Visit GoToWebinar.com to start your free 30-day trial. That's GoToWebinar.com.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today hails from Lisbon, Portugal. He is a music fan, a journalist, and an entrepreneur. He spent some time as a record label manager at Universal Music Group and as a digital marketer for Dialog. He was the founder of Full Flex Interactive Media and also Punch Magazine. But the reason he is on the show today is because of Tradio, a music app that works as an artist accelerator, or as my guest says, a stock exchange for new artists. Having launched in just March of 2015, my guest and his co-founders already have over 15,000 artists using their service, and their aim is to Uberize the music industry. Now, let's hack Miguel Light. I want to take a moment to thank ActiveCampaign for sponsoring today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We've all seen the boring, standard, basic email marketing that is not targeted, is not personalized, and does not work. Please don't make the same mistake. Companies that use marketing automation will see 53% higher conversion than those using traditional email marketing. ActiveCampaign enables you to send intelligence-driven emails based on your customers' actions and their behaviors. You treat your contacts as unique individuals, which they are, rather than sending everyone the same blanketed message. With marketing automation, your campaigns can listen, learn, adapt, and respond, all based on your contacts' behaviors and the customer profile changes. Beautiful and easy to use. There's no need to hire consultants. You can set it up yourself. See why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Go today and sign up for a free 14-day trial. No credit card needed. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. No training fees, no contracts. Pricing is accessible to everyone. Start marketing smarter today. Go to activecampaign.com/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very special guest all the way from Portugal. Miguel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. It's a really pleasure to, a big pleasure to be talking with you today.
Excellent. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
All right, Miguel, let's jump straight into it. Miguel, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a tough one because there's not just one thing that I do, but I think the biggest one that I can remember now and that I can recall, it's being a Monday person. Once I heard this professor talking about being a Monday person, so I really take that in a serious way. So being a Monday person means that when your week starts, you're really excited about it, that you really are looking forward to do what you do, to work, to live, to be with your friends, that you're pretty happy with what you do and with the work that you do. So when I wake up on Monday, I always try to understand how do I feel about my week? How do I feel about my job? And how do I feel about the things that I do, from ideas to the projects that I'm in? And if I'm happy with it, I continue with it. I don't want to be doing things that I don't like or that don't make me happy. So that's my number one rule. I can give you a good example. So my career, it's pretty short still. I feel that I still have a lot of things to do. I'm pretty young. But when I started working, I was this student of journalism that really, really, really wanted to work in the biggest television in Portugal. The television, it's called SIC, and it's basically the best place to work in Portugal in journalism. And it was my dream. I was lucky to do an internship there. I was even luckier to be offered the contract there, and I worked there for more than 1 year. And supposedly I was fulfilling my biggest dream of working in the biggest television in Portugal. But suddenly the months were passing and I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy because I wasn't happy the way they dealt with people. I wasn't happy with the way the work was done there. I didn't like the rules. I didn't understand a lot of the ways of doing things there. And I came to realize that I was not a Monday person on my dream job. So I quit and I started the path that I'm today, like doing my own projects, setting up my own rules and doing what I think it's fair with my company.
And do you consciously now set up your company to not be like that company?
Yeah, totally. It's like key for me. And because when you're a Monday person, I think you influence people to be a Monday person. So right now on my company, we are 19. And when the week starts, I feel that everyone feels the same way. So there are rules that I really, really, really liked to break. And for me, one of the rules that I saw that in this big television, and I didn't want to be in that kind of situation anymore. So for me, relationships within a company are really important. I really want people with us to be happy working with us, to feel good, to be autonomous, to be creative. So today, we really, really want the people that are with us to be Monday persons also. So yes, I consciously apply it to what I do today.
I love it. And so maybe not on a Monday, since you're a Monday person, but maybe on like a Thursday or a Friday. Are there ever days now running your own business that you do, like you get to work, like something just doesn't happen the way it exactly should, and you kind of have this feeling like it would be kind of nice to not be in charge of all of this right now? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever get that feeling where it's like, it's on you, right? You're a co-founder, so it's, you guys are in charge. It's everything, everyone looks to you for answers now.
Yeah.
You no longer get to look for others.
But I think that's the fun part. I suffer a lot. and I believe all of the people that you interview, all of them suffer a lot with what they do, but they are also really happy about it. So it's pretty much like a roller coaster. 1 month ago, we had a big product change and it didn't go as we intended to. And our retention data was really getting worse. We were thinking about something really new and really good for our users, and it turned out to be something the opposite. And we had like these 2 to 3 weeks that pretty much were a nightmare because we wanted to recover our numbers, retention numbers. And those weeks were really hard, but in the end, we overcome it. And today, the retention numbers are higher. So it's a roller coaster. You get days like Thursdays or Fridays that are really, really bad, that suck. But 1 week after, another Friday, you have this big announcement or an incredible news from a partner, or you see the numbers getting higher, or the roller coaster for me always ends in a good way. So yes, there are times that I see it as not so good, but the income, it's always good. It's always good to be doing this, because when the good days come, they are incredible days. So I prefer to live like that. I prefer to risk and to risk having bad days, because if I do, the good days will come. And when they come, they justify everything that I do. And not only in professional terms, in personal terms, I think people need to risk. People need to put themselves out there and to say whatever they really feel and they want to do. Because when you do it, when you do something that you believe it's right, the day that you get what you want and are chasing will come.
Yeah, and the lows are probably lower. When things go wrong, they go worse when you're taking risks, but the highs and the wins are so much higher. And really, that's how life should be, right? It should be, It shouldn't just be like comfortable through the middle, just kind of avoiding all risks and chances. Like, come on, take big chances, big things happen.
The other day, this is not professional, but it's a good example. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was talking about her boyfriend and the way sometimes he didn't give her the gifts that she wanted and stuff. And her philosophy for that was, I need to get used to it, and I'm just stopping saying what I want. And I was like, what? Are you capable of doing that? You're going to live like 80 years. You don't have time for that stuff. You need to say what you want. You need to have what you need, because if you don't risk it, you won't be happy. So yes, I take that as an example for everything that I do and that I want the people around me to do. So
yeah, that's excellent. And the idea of people in our position, yourself included, creating things out in the world, how we have to sort of, how you have to suffer a lot for it, right? So to me, that kind of takes it to like art, kind of like an art form in that sense. You're creating something out of nothing, this company, and putting it out into the world. But it's also, you deal specifically with art. Like you are like an accelerator, you call yourselves, for artists.
Yeah.
Do you see, like, do you think that there has to always be this clear distinction between art and like commerce?
No, because sometimes commerce is also art. I really believe in this. So it's pretty much almost like magic. 2 years ago, Thready wasn't even a white paper. Today we are in more than 20 countries. So it's a form of art, because art is creativity. And for me, creativity, it's the most important thing a human being can do when he's alive. Because being creative, and literally when you create something, it's your legacy. So how can you live without wanting to leave a legacy, to create something? So yes, we are really, really lucky to be working with musicians, with artists, because they are the best example of this. What they do is to create. What they do is to give something new to the world every day. So we are pretty much trying to do the same thing, but with our business. And the start of all of this is creativity.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. All right, Miguel, at the beginning, you told us that your big influence on your success is being a Monday person and then sort of putting that into your business. So all the experts now in business talk about this 80-20 rule. You do 20% of the work, you get 80% of the results. You should do what you're good at, but you should delegate the rest of it. Miguel, in your business, can you tell me something that you are really, really not good at?
Yeah, I have this thing that I'm really, really, really bad with. It's invoices, papers, little bureaucracies. Like when you buy something from a SaaS, you need to pay MailChimp invoice. I pay everything. And when the part of having the right invoice to the accountant and everything really, really well organized, I suck at that. I'm really bad at that. So fortunately, today on Thready, we are lucky. I'm lucky to have someone that helps me with this. Her name is Beatrice. Thank you, Beatrice. Because it's something that I'm really, really bad with. But I'm not ashamed of that, as you can see. But it's something that I really need to be a little bit better, I believe so.
Did you know that you were bad at this when you started Tradio, or did you kind of realize it going through that, or somebody pointed it out like, Miguel, you're no good at this stuff?
I knew that I was bad. I didn't know I was as bad as this. Because with the startup, and a lot of your listeners know this, but with the startup, you buy so many little things that you need for your marketing or technology that things start to pile up. And then I have these hundreds of documents that I need to give to my accountant, and I don't know where half of it is. So yes, I didn't know I was bad. I didn't know I was this bad before.
Fair enough. Okay, we're going to move on to projects.
Yeah.
So projects is a very loose term. So with you guys and Tradio, it's probably going to be like a new version that you put out or new ideas. So you said just a couple months ago that you guys put out a new feature and Or like a new version and the retention data got way worse, but you expected it to get way better. You thought what you were doing is the right thing. So I would love to know sort of what the internal process is that you have now. What do you guys decide is like a feature or a version that you should put into Tradio at this time?
I think the base of everything, it's data. It needs to be data. It needs to be little things like how many times a button gets clicked, or are we having enough people in this page? Are we converting enough on our membership pass? Data is almost everything here. But I'm not a 100% data guy. I trust my gut. I trust the gut of my other two co-founders. And we try to balance our decisions based on that also. And obviously about customer feedback. So if you have an organization of in terms of scale of what we do to decide things, data plays a big, big part on all of this. Customer feedback, really, really, really important. And I know this is a cliche, but we need to listen to our clients, our users, our artists to understand what they need. Not every time. Sometimes they are wrong. Other times they are really, really, really right. And we need to know when they are really, really, really right. But in the end, those 10% of the decision, I won't never take a decision without a little bit of gut, without a little bit of emotion, because in the end, we're doing this for people and it's not machines, and we need to involve some kind of emotion with this. But yes, our process is data, customer feedback, and some gut.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so two questions. When you released a couple months ago and you probably followed your gut because you wanted to grow the data, right? You wanted to get more users, more interaction. So you went with your gut and or probably feedback too, but followed your gut and pushed into something that the data then pushed back to you that your retention was getting worse. So how quickly do you admit that, maybe I was completely wrong following my gut and the data is telling me that, or else, no, maybe it's like a user experience or something we have to change because this feature is actually right. They're just not using it properly yet. And I am correct and I need to push through.
Yeah, that's the kind of things that you need to evaluate. So it was like the most intense two weeks that we had on Tradio. And the decision wasn't made only on gut. Obviously, it was made on data and some things that we believe that will be good to give as a feature to our users. But we needed to be humble, and we needed to see that the numbers were getting lower. And we were really, really fast doing it. So it was like 2 weeks of restructuring the product to the things that were good. And with the learnings that we had to make some changes that we believe in. And in 2 weeks, we changed the product again. We apologized to our users. They answered back saying, "Whoa, that was quick, and thank you for listening to us." And today, Tradio is getting better numbers that it was getting before. So it's a matter of being quick, of being humble, and trying to don't close your eyes to data. It's a lot of people do that. Like, you do this awesome landing page and you believe that it's going to convert because it has this beautiful woman in the background and the massive CTA button, and then it doesn't convert. You need to be humble and to accept and to follow data and to redo things. So that's what we did.
Yeah, and I love that. Be quick and be humble. But when you talk about the data, and the data is so important, and you talked about like how many times somebody clicks on this button, sees this page, what are you guys using for software to get your data right now?
It's like so many things. Obviously, Mixpanel.
Oh, okay, nice.
I'm talking about a competitor here.
Yeah.
Mixpanel, it's really key. I love the work they do. It offers a lot of insights that we need, both for mobile and web. We are using a similar platform that we love. They are Portuguese also. So everyone's talking about the Europe's San Francisco and the startup scene in Lisbon in Portugal. And these guys are pretty awesome. And they also do data. They are pretty much like Mixpanel, but with different features that we need. They are called Liquid. We are using other tools like Hotjar for heat maps and user stories and User Voice for user feedback. Pretty much the standard tools that the startup needs to have. We use it. We try to use it well. we feel that we are growing because of these tools. So it's great.
Nice. That's awesome. Is that Liquid Data?
It's not called Liquid Data. It's called
Liquid.io or something.
Dot.io. Yeah.
Excellent. I just want to be able to refer people to that. Excellent.
Yeah, please do, because they are awesome. And one of my best friends works there and is so dedicated to it. And I see him like one time in 2 weeks, because he's always trying to get the features that his users want. So it's untargetable. So it's
That's
really
awesome.
Good. Yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So we fully support it. All right, Miguel. Well, this has been a lot of fun. You've grown Tradio in the past not even quite a year at this point to, I believe, almost 15,000 artists you guys are supporting on there. So as we're heading into a new year now, this will be the completion of your first year and heading into your second year. Could you tell me what you guys are looking to accomplish over, say, the next 12 months?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, for us, a success of an artist that is involved with us, it's our success. So in Portugal and in the United Kingdom, we were able to generate success cases like artists selling out their tours, being played on massive radios, release EPs, albums, doing an album with Universal Music, for instance. What we want to do here is to accelerate new artists' careers and to give them opportunities. So for the next 12 months, we want to scale this. We want this to be a reality for more countries. We want to scale this to the United States. I really believe that it's the perfect market for us. Our users from the United States understand what we do. Artists are crazy about what we do. We are supporting an hip-hop trio from Ohio. Called Young Troubled Minds. They are crazy about what we do. So these little things that justify what we do, we want to scale it next year. So for the next 12 months, it's this that we're going to do. We are going to new markets such as United States, and we are going to scale Tradio.
I love it. So we've got to talk just in passing, but Tradio, can you just tell specifically if there's any artists listening, how they can use your service?
Yeah, so basically Tradio is a music app that works as an artist's accelerator. So we connect new artists to real opportunities within the music industry. So every day our users, hundreds of thousands of users, are acting as A&R scouts, discovering and supporting new talents. What we want to do here, it's a crowdsourced process of discovering new talent. And with this, artists get more traction. And get access to our ecosystem of partners. And with that, they can access label deals, music videos, studio time, and much more, pretty much more. In return, the users that we have with us, and as I explained to you, Tradio Dynamic is pretty much like a stock market for music. So users that do good findings, that discover talent that then is supported by the music industry, they can exchange their winnings for perks such as vinyl players, headphones, festival tickets. So pretty much we are creating here a dynamic that gives perks and opportunities to both users and artists.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, it's for artists, and it's also for people who are really into discovering new artists.
Yeah, changing artists' careers. That's what we want to do, and we don't want to do it alone, so we do it with our users.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Miguel, this has been a lot of fun. I thank you again for taking the time to stop by today. And please keep enjoying your Mondays and just keep doing what it is you do, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much. I hope you also enjoy your Mondays. I bet you do, because you have an incredible podcast that I follow. And thank you so much for interviewing me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
That was a lot of fun, Miguel. I thank you so much for joining me and for just being so open in your answers. I love your story and the journey so far. And obviously, as always, I just have that soft spot for the music. The merging of like art and music and commerce. I absolutely love it. And the music industry is an industry that needs to be disrupted. And I think you and your co-founders may be the one to do it. So I thank you for that. And I'm sure, well, already thousands and thousands of artists do. So this conversation it was cool. It was really cool. And we went to some interesting places, Miguel and I. And so as I went through, right, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots I needed to go back and listen to. So I did. And then all of a sudden there was 3 spots. And then I went back again and there was 2. And then on that 4th listen, there was one thing that Miguel said. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
It's a matter of being quick, of being humble, and trying to... Don't close your eyes to data. It's a lot of people do that. Like, you do this awesome landing page and you believe that it's going to convert because it has this beautiful woman in the background and the massive CTA button, and then it doesn't convert. You need to be humble and to accept and to follow data and to redo things. So that's what we did.
And that's the hack. Miguel. I love this. This is so true and so hard for myself and for so many of us to accept, but it's absolutely something that we need to accept, because the data is there, right? We're all working online. And so with Google Analytics or Mixpanel or anything that you're using to collect that data, it's there like so accurately. Like when you owned a store, like a shoe store in a physical space, I guess people still own those, but it's like, it's hard to track exactly who's coming through, what their backgrounds, all that stuff about them. But when you're online, you can do this. And so we create like this landing page, like he says, with this person, and then has this beautiful call to action button, and it doesn't work. And what do? We want it to work because we expect it to work. We spent a whole bunch of money getting it designed, all this stuff, and it doesn't work. We have to be humble, and we have to be quick, and we have to accept that this was wrong, that this data was wrong. And this is something that I always push for with everyone that I deal with, is like, they come up with an idea for, like, John, maybe you should try, what if we tried this? It's always like, yeah, let's test it. It's always the idea is should be, yes, let's test it. As in A and B test any landing page, any headline, anything you do. Like, even between the titles of my episodes, from when I publish them on hacktheentrepreneur.com to when we publish them to rainmaker.fm to sometimes when they go to copyblogger.com, as we sort of go, we will change headlines. We sometimes have 3 different headlines and we'll test them all to see which one works best. This is absolutely the way to do it. Yet you can't get attached to your idea. Well, no, my headline's going to be the best, or this image is going to be the best, or this landing page, or this feature. You have to accept that. And I love how Miguel says that you need to just be humble and don't think that you know better than the data does, because it's not about you, right? It's about your customer. It's about the visitor to your website. It's about the person reading your stuff. It's about the person who's ultimately going to buy something. That's who has to want it, and that's who it has to agree with. Not, it doesn't matter what you want. And so this is an awesome thing that you've brought up, Miguel, and I thank you for that. Excellent. So thank you so very much. It's been a great show. I really, 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 truly appreciate you stopping by, as always. It's great of you. It really, 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 truly is. If you haven't yet, my new book came out this week. It made it to number 1 on Amazon in some place. It's amazing. $3 this week. You can get it for $3. It's crazy. You can barely buy a coffee for that. Sometimes people buy those fancy coffees. I don't, but you can, and they're even more than that. This book will kick you in the ass and get you going into the greatest of New Year's heading into 2016. It's short, it's easy to read, and I know you'll love it. If you don't, you can email me. I'll send you $3, seriously. But you'll love it. I know you will. I wrote it for you. htebook.com, or just go straight to Amazon, type in Hack the Entrepreneur or John Nastor. One of the two will bring you there. Do it. $3. Or you can get it, I think $18, you can get a paperback copy. Pretty awesome, yeah. All right, thank you so very much. I truly do appreciate you taking the time. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.